My name's Ryan, and I serve as the director of our community formation team, and I lead a team of four of us, who we're going to throw some pictures up here just in just a second. Grant is the men's and married director. I won't be upset if you confuse us when he comes back. He's on a trip right now. When he comes back, you'll see his hair is actually closer to my length, and it happens constantly. That people think we're the same person, even though we don't really look that much alike, but long hair on a guy, I guess, just creates that dynamic. Then Stephanie is our women's director, and those two really oversee, for the most part, our launching process, which we're going to get to here in just a little bit. And then Cameron really keeps all of us on track, helps all the logistics around this process run and operate. And so as a team, the community formation team exists to initiate and establish community groups where members are known and loved, rooted in God's word, and committed to God's mission. That is the purpose behind the team that we have here. And so we initiate those groups through this process, this community formation process, and then the establishment of those groups moving forward happens through that launch process. Like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit more, but my team's heart and desire, and then everybody else who has a name tag on in this room, our amazing team of volunteers who make this morning happen, we're just here to serve you as you pursue next steps with community here at Watermark. So kind of to set the stage for what today and next Sunday are about, we really kind of have two goals, two intentions. The first is to help set expectations. So I've already mentioned to some degree that everyone comes into this room from a different context. You might have experience participating in some sort of like church connected or church adjacent small group. And so that might be shaping what you think this is. You might have just heard from others who are here at Watermark what their community experience has been like. Or you just have desires and hopes for the kinds of relationships that you have. So we're all coming into this room with some sort of expectations. We want to try our best to align those with what the scripture would say. And so that's really kind of the goal of this initial part of the morning. And then we'll break out in the hopes of facilitating connections between y'all so that the relationships that, as we pray, God would use in months and years to come can start to form. And so there's really three questions that we're going to ask that kind of are going to guide our time together in this room today. Those questions are, what is a Watermark community group? What is the goal of community at Watermark? And how can I get the most out of community formation? And so we're going to answer that first question by defining some terms. Because what I don't want it to feel like as you navigate this process here at Watermark is like this. If you guys have seen Finding Nemo or know this scene, Marlin is wildly confused because he knows that he's trying to talk to him, but all he's hearing is rip, roll it, and punch it from Squirt. And none of that means anything to him. And so I don't want you to sit there thinking, I know you're trying to talk to me, but I don't really know all of what you are, what you mean by the words that you're using. And so we just want to kind of try and define some terms that really will help clarify what is community at Watermark so that then we can move forward from there. So the first is this idea of just community in general, this word community that gets thrown around. So specifically here at Watermark, when you hear people reference community, they're most often talking about your community group, okay? If someone asks, are you in community? Who are you in community with? That's what they're talking about. And it's a small group made up of Watermark members, generally from the same life stage. Not always, but generally from the same life stage. And that small group makes up a core of what we hope will be your broader Christian community. It does not encompass all of the Christian community that you have in your life. That's not our desire, even, is that you'd have this one small tight group and that's it. There's some of you who walk into this room and you have years and years and years and years of relationship with people who have been a blessing to you in your walk with Jesus. And we want you to continue to pursue and to glean from and to enjoy those relationships. We're not asking you to bail on those people. Then there are others in the room who are coming in and you've never really had Christian friends before. You've never had people that you get to walk through life alongside in this intentional and purposeful, Christ-exalting way. And it's just good for all of us to remember that there's both kinds of people in the room. And when these new relationships start, to recognize that we want this, in this season of your life, to be a core part of that Christian community, but it's not the full extent of it. Your community group is also not your small church, okay? It's a gathering of some of the body of Christ at Watermark together, but it's not a small church, and it's also not your one-stop shop for your discipleship to Jesus. It's really more like the people you get in the boat with, and then you start rowing together, rather than being the destination. We all are here because we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus, and these are the people that we get to do that alongside. And then specifically, our community groups here at Watermark facilitate the process or the activity of shepherding within our body, which is the next term we'll look at. Shepherding is the responsibility that elders or leadership over a church take on to ensure that all the members of that body are cared for. And if you go to that 1 Peter 5:1-4, I'll read this. So I this comes straight from the scriptures. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So I know this is something that gets talked about in the membership class. So if you've been, if you recently attended that class and went through that process, this won't be new information to you. But the reality is that being referred to as a sheep is a humbling thing. Having a shepherd over us and it being normative that would be something we need in our life is just a humbling thing. It forces us to recognize that we're broken, that we are prone to wander, that we need the help of other people. The encouraging thing is that all of us are sheep. No one is outside of that label or definition. Even the elders are both sheep and shepherds. And so this shepherding is something that you opt into when you complete membership. It is you're raising your hand effectively and saying, hey, I want the help of other more mature believers who have gone before me to serve me and to care for me and to encourage me and spur me on in my relationship with Jesus and to watch over your soul. And so in 1 Peter, it goes on to tell us what our response should be to that, how we should participate in that process. It says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so we humble ourselves and recognize that there are people who have gone before us who can be a blessing to us. And so community groups are kind of the primary mechanism through which that shepherding happens at Watermark. And we're going to talk more next week about kind of the relational structure that happens there. But what's important right now is that's why completing the membership steps is so important and why we won't move you forward in the community process until you have taken these steps. So kind of above the dotted line are the things that you'll need to make sure are completed before we'll place you in a group, because that's the way that you say, yes, I want to be a part of this family, I want to be a part of this body. And then serving is a commitment that we make when you sign the membership covenant. That's one of the parts of that covenant. And so it's not going to keep you from getting placed in a group, but we would encourage you to start thinking right now, where might I use my gifts to serve either the body of Watermark locally or the city at large? And as we move into the launch process, we'll talk more about that. But you should have gotten on the other side of your name tag today an update on where you are on those steps. If you have any questions about that, please come find one of us in the name tag. We'd love to help you. And then to see kind of an up-to-date active status of that, you can go to my.watermark.org/membership-status, and that will show you if you're working through some of those, whether that is showing up on our end. And so then the last thing, because our groups are a place where we're shepherding one another and we want to be known and loved, we use a model that's called closed groups, okay? So a closed group, as opposed to an open group, just means that we are committed to one another. It's not a come-and-go kind of small group, and we don't take lightly the adding or removing from a group. It doesn't mean that you are married to that group forever, but it does mean that we're going to be thoughtful about if we step out and move towards another one. And then there's going to be conversation, a consensus about adding to that group if you're in a season to do that. And so there's a real tension there. We want to be a people who are open to growing, to multiplying. One of the hardest things is that with a closed group model is that it's harder to join an existing group. And so that's why we do things like this, to try and get new groups off the ground. But there are going to be times in the life of your group where it is the right thing to invite others in and to be thoughtful about it and to have good conversations, but not once you get into a group feel so closed off that you don't feel like there's opportunities to invite others into joining that encouragement that you're experiencing. So the pro is deeper relationships where you're known, and the con is that it makes it harder to join an existing group, and that's why we have community formation. The way that we determine who's going to be in your groups is a little bit different for married and men's women's. For men's women's, your gender, so it's going to be men's groups and women's groups. For married couples, the geography for you, we know, matters more generally because of families and the difficulty of getting around town. But then kind of your life or your family stage, we're going to take into consideration your availability throughout the week, and then the connections that you make. That's why we have the second part of this morning, so that you can get to know one another and speak a little bit into who you might end up in a group with. And so after next week, we'll talk about how you share this information with us moving forward. So more to come on that next week. One quick note for a couple of maybe populations in the room. If you're college age, one, we're so glad you're here. We do have college-specific small groups. And so if that's something you'd be interested in, then come find one of us, and we'd love to point you in that direction. And then if you are newly married and you've not participated in a foundation group, we also have kind of a newly married-specific small group track that most couples go through. And so if you'd like to learn more about that, we'd also love to talk to you about that. We're glad you're here. It's not that you can't move forward in this process, but if either of those would be more desirable to you, we'd love to help you with that. And so what is a Watermark community group? It's a small group generally made up of between 4 and 12 people. So on the men's women's side, it's about 4 to 8. On the married side, it might be 3 to 6 couples. Of fellow committed Watermark members who are a core part of your broader Christian community and the means through which you are cared for and shepherded by the church. And so to give us a little bit of a visual, I just want you guys to think that's kind of the car that you're getting in. Okay, that is the vehicle of community. And so what we want to do now is talk a little bit about where that vehicle is going. Once we get in that vehicle, where are we headed? And it's really important when you're going to be guided somewhere to know in advance where you're going so that you can determine if you are in agreement with where you're being taken. If you get in a car and someone takes you where you don't want to go, that's called kidnapping. And that's not our intention here. And so we want to talk this morning, kind of for the rest of our time, about that second question, which is what is the purpose of community? And I have felt pretty acutely the importance of understanding where you're being guided and communicating well about that. Because of a recent experience I had with some friends on a trip. We were out in Hawaii 2 years ago on the north shore of Oahu. And we were there because one of my friends is super into surfing and wanted to go see a surfing competition. And I was excited to be along for the ride for that adventure. But I love to hike and kind of adventure. And so I wanted to make sure that at some point on the trip we got to go on a hike. So we finished one of the days of watching the surf competition. It ended a little bit early, and I had heard of this hike that I read about on the internet. It's like, guys, let's go do this. I didn't do a great job of communicating kind of how difficult it might be, how long it was going to last, what the final destination was. And so it was a little bit strenuous to start. I have a video, give you a little idea.
Atmosphere is getting thin. Oxygen is a little low. Try not to go snowblind.
So that's my roommate Jordan, just being a tad dramatic. But as you can see, like, the girls have their tote bags kind of on their shoulders as backpacks. It was a little bit steep to start with. So we kind of hike up the side of this hill or mountain. And then here's a picture of us at the overlook, which is awesome. It's a little bit dark with the sun in the background. But we are smiling in that picture. But the smiles just didn't last crazy long because a couple moments later, I informed the group that there's actually another overlook that I really want to get to that I read about on the internet. But the path to that overlook is, like, not really marked. It's kind of unclear. So I think I know where we're going. So we start marching down this trail, and it's getting dark, and it's not the right one, and they lose trust very quickly, and there's a mutiny, if you will. And actually what ended up happening is the three of them turned around, went back down to the car. I ran around on the top of the mountain for like 30 more minutes, didn't find what I was looking for ever, and then went down to the bottom, and we did conflict resolution. So it's really important to upfront communicate about where you're guiding someone. And the reality is, what we want you to know is here at Watermark, we care deeply about you knowing God, having an intimate relationship with him, and walking in his ways. And community is one of the primary means through which God helps facilitate those things happening. It's one of the places where we get to know him better. It's one of the places where our intimacy with him grows. It's one of the ways that we're encouraged towards obedience. And it's also one of the significant places where we live out obedience to him, okay? Where we both experience the one another's of Scripture coming towards us and where we live them out towards one another. If you think about it in terms of our church's vision statement, that we're transformed by Christ to love like Christ, community is both a place where we experience that transformation and where we love in response to that transformation that comes through Jesus. And so it's our intention as a community team to guide you towards relationships, like I said up top, where you will be known and loved, rooted in God's word, and committed to God's mission. It's what we believe is the design and desire for relationships within the church, and it's our aim to guide and to lead you there. And so we just want to spend time looking at each of those. What does it mean to guide, to be known and loved, rooted in God's word, committed to God's mission, and what's it going to look like for us to guide you there? So first, known and loved. We see all over the New Testament the importance of genuinely and fully knowing and experiencing and living in and under, being at home in the love of God. It's all over the writings, both of the Old Testament and the New. One of my favorite places that we see that is in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. It says, starting in verse 14 really, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father." Paul says, "This is what I'm praying on your behalf," Ephesians church, in verse 17, "that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's Paul's plea to God on behalf of the church at Ephesus, is that they would know and experience the love of God. How does that happen? Okay, if we look at 1 John 4, we see that unpacked a little bit. Verse 9, it says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him." So first and foremost, we experience the love of God through Christ sent to earth on our behalf. And then in 1 John 4, 15 and 16, it says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." So we recognize God's love for us through Jesus. We come to know it as a function, or our trust and faith in him is evidence that we've come to know it. But smack dab in the middle of those verses in 1 John 4:12 says this: "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Which is to say that we first know the love of God through Christ, but that we continually experience and know the love of God through the love of others. That as others love us the way that Jesus loves us, we experience God's love through them. And so next week, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about how that practically plays out. Like, what do we do in community for all of these things to be true? But I do want to touch a little bit on the how for each of these this morning. And for this one, it really starts with living in authentic relationship. It's one of our church core values you've heard us talk about. But it looks like truly knowing the other people in your group and then allowing them to actually fully know you. Not a fake version of you, not a beautified version of you, but sharing your authentic self. And then showing the unconditional love of Christ to others as they know you. And Tim Keller, late pastor, says it really well. He says, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. So to be loved by someone who doesn't really know all of you, there's some comfort in that, but at the end of the day, you're going to be asking yourself, if they knew, if they had all the information, would they still love me? To be known and not loved is our greatest fear, that they would know everything about me and that they would run. But to be known, but be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. And that's what we're aiming for in our community groups here, that we would know each other fully and we would love each other fully in response. And I think, I mean, I can speak for myself, but I would guess this would be true for a lot in the room. A lot of times, the reason we have a hard time believing the love of God for us is because we recognize that we don't merit it. That our, the way that we live, that our sin doesn't make us deserving of love. So we get this idea that we need to make ourselves more lovable. And it's amazing the way that experiencing a different kind of love through other people starts to change our way of thinking. That as we confess our sin and we share what's really going on in our hearts and people love us through it, it starts to change the way that we think, and it actually opens our hearts up more to accept and to receive the fullness of God's love. And so Jesus gives us a very specific command in John 13:34-35, that we would love as he has loved us. And that's what it looks like to be known and loved in community. So it's our intention to guide you in a group where you would extend the love of God to others and to receive it and experience the love of God through them as you are fully known. The second is being rooted in God's word. This is the second thing we want to guide your group towards. And this is just the idea of really being deeply connected to and rooted to the word of God as your source of life and sustenance, that it would surround you, that it would inform everything that you do. And a couple things that are true about God's word. One, it is where we connect with and learn about God. Okay, the scriptures are the place where we come to know God's history. What has he done throughout all of time? What is his character? What is he actually like in his nature? What promises has he made to us? We come to know those things, and we come to know him more deeply. And as we come to know him more deeply, that opens up the door for actual true intimacy with him. And I think we all kind of recognize this. Today, when you guys get into your circles, or anybody maybe who met in this room before we got started, what are some of the first questions that you ask people when you're starting to get to know them? Kind of shout them out. What do you do? What's your name? That's good. Where are you from? What else? Do you have kids? Where do you live? How old are you? Yeah, so you're gathering information. And as you gather that information up front, it is opening the door then for a genuine relationship to be formed. And so we couldn't possibly think that we could have a genuine relationship with God if we don't know about him. We don't know what he's done, how he's been in the past. We don't know what he's actually like. The scriptures are where that happens. And then it's the place where we are instructed in his way, that as we understand his character and his love for us, we're taught about how he would have us live inside of this world that we've created. And so the goal isn't just to read God's word so that we can recall it and remember it. It's so that we would live in accordance with it, that it would impact how we operate and live. And when we do that, it's the thing that honors him. This is the truth that continually blows my mind and makes me the most grateful. It honors him, and it gives him the glory that he deserves as a righteous God, and our good is wrapped up in it somehow. Like, he's rigged this thing that our obedience to his commands actually is what leads to flourishing and fullness of life. So 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so the word of God, the living, breathing word of God, is to be the authority over our life. It's not just a rule book, but it is his declarations and his promises and his commands and his instructions and his warnings and his encouragements to us. And they are to form this lens that we see the world through. That everything that we do, everywhere that we go, every situation that we encounter, we would see through the lens of God's word. It's kind of like the owner's manual to your car. Okay, it tells you this is how this was created. This is the reality of this situation. if you do these things, it's not going to go well for you. If you put diesel in this gasoline engine, this isn't going to run very well. It's not going to run very long. If you don't take these steps of maintenance, it's going to fall apart. God's word gives us a framework for how we understand the world and how we live in it in a way that leads to our flourishing. And what we have to recognize and be honest with ourselves about is that we're prone to disregard that, to think that we know better. And sometimes that's a result of ignorance. And when we haven't spent the time studying Scripture and coming to know what are his instructions for us. But then other times it's just outright rebellion. I think I know better than you, God. I want to go my own way. Or in this particular moment, I'm not trusting you. And that is where community comes in. Colossians 3:16 tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And then Hebrews 3:13, "Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So community is intended to be this place where the word of God is central to the relationships, and where we remind each other of it, we study it and learn it together, and we encourage each other with it. Another pastor and author who I really appreciate, John Mark Comer, says it this way: "As you give voice to what's in your mind and imagination, your community ideally is a sounding board to say, yes, that's true, no, that's a lie. Yes, that's true, no, that's a lie. And to help you navigate life." And that's not by their experiences or not by their human wisdom, but through kind of the sieve, if you will, of God's word. And so how do you do that? Simply, one, you have to decide that you want to, okay? And sometimes we downplay that step. But we have to really ask ourselves, do I want God's word, or I want what God says to be the thing that actually informs everything that I do in my life? And if the answer is no, then that's something worth wrestling through before maybe we take next steps here. But you have to decide. And then if you decide, yes, I do, then the next step is, how do I get myself around it and saturated with it as much as I possibly can? Last fall, TA asked the question in one of his messages, which voice do I have more exposure to, the father of lies or the God of all truth? Okay? And we want that to be way, way skewed towards the God of all truth so that we can walk in obedience to it and know him more deeply. And so inside community, that just looks like studying it, meditating on it, counseling from it, encouraging with it, digging in when it doesn't make sense, sitting under the teaching of it, which means faithfully attending on Sunday morning to be encouraged by those who have spent time studying it themselves. And we just get to do all of that together. And so it's our intention to guide your group to be one that is growing in your knowledge of God's word, so that your intimacy with him would grow, and then your faithfulness to walk in his way would increase. So we're going to actively try and keep helping you towards that end. If you get in a group and there's stagnancy in that area of your life, we're not just going to raise our hands and say, man, that's really hard. We're going to come help guide you, direct you towards being a community that operates that way. And then the last one this morning is just being committed to God's mission. We want to guide you towards a commitment to living for the purpose that you're on this earth for, that you wouldn't be pulled to and fro by what the world says is important. And we specifically get a pretty good picture of this mission in Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so our mission is to multiply. It's to invite others from every tribe and tongue and nation into our relationship with God and to lead them in that direction. We are to be ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, which really is to say that we are representatives of him everywhere that we go. The thing about an ambassador is that they're in a room so that the person they're representing doesn't have to be. Okay, you have an ambassador to France so that the president doesn't have to be in France. He can be here and they can be representing there. The beauty about our ambassadorship that Matthew 28 tells us is that our king comes with us. He says, "Behold, I'll be with you always to the end of the age." So he's right next to us all the time when we're trying to represent him, have this good conversation with somebody. We don't have to just hope we know what to do next. He's, hey, okay, what do I do next? What's the next thing I share? Spirit, lead me in this moment as I try and represent you the best I can to these people. And a couple verses that help me think about this and really frame up the way that I hope I operate in all of my relationships and everywhere I go is Philippians 1, 24 through 26. And Paul is wrestling with whether or not it's better to die and to go and be with Jesus or to stay. And he actually acknowledges that it would be better for me to go be with Jesus. That would be preferable. But then he says this, to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. We want to be people who everywhere we go, people have more reason to exalt and celebrate and experience the goodness of Jesus because we are present there. That's the reason that we are on this earth. And the reality is that's a hard mission. That's something that is challenging for us to do. It's counter to our culture. It means giving up our comforts. It exposes our idols when we're tasked with this purpose that is very not us-centered. And Jesus doesn't mince words about that. He recognizes it. He tells us that if anyone would come after him, that we would have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. And that if we were to come to him, that we have to hate our own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even our own life. If not, we can't be called his disciple. And I hope you read that and you know that's hyperbolic language. He's not actually asking you to hate your family, but he's saying in comparison, this should be priority number one. It's going to be hard. But like I said before, we are assured that however countercultural, however uncomfortable that type of lifestyle is, it actually is the life that brings us the most joy. It is where abundance is found. And so we need community to help us remember that truth that is counter to what maybe normally rattles around in our brain, that we would participate together on this mission, that we'd be ambassadors together to the world. And so really quickly, just to wrap up on that, what that looks like, first and foremost, is we have to talk about it consistently. Okay. Anything else in your life, any other project or goal that you have set, intention that you've set with a group of people, you're going to talk about it regularly. If that's trying to secure a client at work or complete a school project or raise healthy children or maintain a healthy marriage, like because you have this goal, this desired outcome, you're going to communicate consistently about it. That's going to show how important it is. And then in the midst of that conversation, you get to confess your fears about it. You get to share the ways that you're insecure about whether or not you can be an ambassador for God, what your perceived inadequacies are, and to together ask God for help. And then you get to go live it out together, either actively in kind of the same relationships or in the same context, or through prayer and encouragement and spurring one another on in the individual context that you're in. Hebrews 10 just encourages us to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deed. And so it's our intention to guide you to grow in your commitment and faithfulness to God's mission, and in turn, your enjoyment of fullness of life in him. And so that's the destination that when we get you in this vehicle, that we want to guide you towards. And it's super important that we're all on the same page about that up front. And not only that we're on the same page, but if you really are bought into where this is headed, the other thing that allows you to start doing is preparing for that kind of journey, okay? So if you're going to be in a group where the desire is that you are known and loved and tangible expressions of the love of Christ to one another, you got to start to prepare yourself to be in a circle of people who are very different than you, who don't look like you, who don't live like you, who don't think like you, who you might not have anything in common with other than that you both love Jesus. And be ready and thinking through, okay, how am I going to respond and love them so that they experience the love of Christ through me? If that's really where you want to go, if we're all on the same page, start to prepare that way. Start to prepare making God's word the authority over your life. What are the opportunities in front of me to grow in this area? What is the mission field I'm on right now, and how can I start to invite other people into it? If we're all bought in on the place we want to go, and we get to start preparing for that destination and living into it right away. And so the last thing I want to share before I send you off to get time with each other is just how to make the most of this time really quickly. One, as we prayed, I would just ask that you open yourself up to God providing for you in a way that's different than you expected. Okay? Just be willing to think this could look different than I anticipated. Be attentive to one another. Okay? Be curious. That's how good relationships start. So you ask good questions. You actually care about the person across from you. You want to know them. And then begin to open yourself up to be known. Okay? I'm not asking you to dump your whole life story or the most challenging and dark parts of your world today, but start to take that step. Share that thing that makes you a little bit nervous because it's a little bit vulnerable. And that's the way that these relationships will really start to take off. So I'm going to pray now that would be the case, and we'll send you guys off the time together. God, we thank you for your design, just for your goodness on display in relationships within your body, the way that your people are a blessing to one another, that as we live this life that you've created us for, of security and your love for us, of attentiveness to your authority over us and faithfulness to the purpose that you've put us here for, that we get to do that with champions and others who come alongside us and remind us that it's the good way when we're not believing that. We get to use their gifts where we're weak, where we get to partner together to walk out this life and this calling that we have. And so I pray just for the time that's coming now, for these new relationships that will start to form, that you bless them, that you be present, that you use them. Love you. In Jesus' name, amen.